Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We go out to the hotline. We're joined by our friend, great guy, Jason Mackey. He's in Bradenton, FLA, and he's covering the Pittsburgh Pirates. Are you staying at the house that we generally stay at, Jason?
That's right. The house that Colony built. The house Colin built. What I prefer Colin.
No, it's
Have you met Mrs. Crosley yet?
Yeah, there's a ghost in there.
I have not met her, and I know nothing of what you speak, and quit telling me to get freaked out by ghosts.
No, there is. There's a ghost. Now, there's also out back by the laundry room. We've done this before on the air. There is, if you go out there when you're doing the laundry, there are a bunch of bamboo trees, and when the wind blows just a little, they go like this. Have you heard that out by those bamboo trees?
I don't know. Maybe. Can you make that noise again for me? Thank you. Yeah, I heard that one. I got that. Yep.
Yeah. It sounds like a cat being murdered.
Yes.
It's so disconcerting in the middle of the night.
Nice. Is that cat still there?
Yes. There is a cat that roams around as well out by the Sarasota Bay or whatever that is. Nonetheless, on the fan hotline brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitis is Jason Mackey. Give me three things that you've had your eye on the last day that you'll have your eye on in the next coming days in thumbnail, short order, blip, three things that you're going to pay attention to that maybe aren't like really obvious stories. Tell me.
Well, the one I struggle with, but I'm going to say it anyway, is Mitch Keller. Looks very good, looks different, looks more mature, looks grown up. I'm curious to see him once games start. I know that's probably a little obvious, so I'll stick away from that or go away from that. Another storyline would be center field at this point, and I don't know quite what I see, but it's an important position. Obviously, the Pirates did not get nearly enough production out of there. Anthony Alford's still dealing with a bit of a throwing issue, which could very well open the door for Brian Goodwin, and this is probably a position battle we're underplaying. You know, who's going to play out there? And I asked Derek Shelton about it yesterday. He said it's an open competition. I think beginning of the offseason, we probably thought Anthony Alford would be the guy out there. They signed Brian Goodwin. I would have to think that he stands a pretty good chance of playing. And maybe something that we haven't talked enough about would be Kevin Newman. I thought he has looked very good, very mature, swing cleaned up, no issues from the knee. I don't know which way shortstop's going to go, but you know, I think Kevin Newman has looked very good so far.
Jason, what's more important to Mitch Keller's development this year, being able to throw a breaking ball for a strike or being able to carry himself a little bit differently? It sounds like a little bit more, I don't know, with a little bit more, not that he was immature before, but a little bit more of like a grown-up this spring.
Right, and I would go with the second one, Chris. I don't have any doubt he's going to throw both breaking balls effectively and for strikes, and they don't even need to be thrown for strikes all the time because they're that good. If we're going to talk about actual pitches with him, I would prefer his changeup be more of a weapon. But to me, the bigger thing is how he carries himself. And that's why I led off with what I did. I think that's a big development for the Pirates and for their fans. You want Mitch Keller to be, you know, just a dude. You want him to go out there and be dominant. And he can be. And I think in this clubhouse with, you know, previously Jameson Taillon, Trevor Williams, Joe Musgrove, Chris Archer, like, he felt like the kid and just kind of like minded his own business. He doesn't have to feel that way anymore. I think he sort of welcomes that people looking at him to be really good. He has the ability. So to me, I'm looking at his temperament, his attitude. I want him pitching with an edge. And I, you know, at least so far, I've seen him take steps in that direction.
Jason, a guy that actually is going to have a lot to do with not just Keller, but with a lot of the pitchers is Jacob Stallings. He was on with the guys yesterday early. How good is he? And by that, I mean, he's gotten a whole lot better pretty quickly here because he can even hit now a little bit.
I really like Jacob Stallings, Jim, and I'm not breaking any news there. You know, this guy is so underrated for a lot of reasons. You know, for his attitude and how sort of calming he is. You know, I'm sure you guys have him on. He's probably not the most exciting radio voice, but he's also a guy, like, you know, as a former pitcher, somebody you just love throwing to. You like throwing to somebody that's likable, that you're not going to tick off. You know, pitchers have always thrown to catchers that, like, either intimidated them or didn't put them at ease, and Jacob Stallings does a very good job of that. I was watching him throw yesterday, and that's something that stands out to me, too. Like, we've talked about his pitch framing. He's really improved. He's, you know, an excellent blocker. But his throwing is just so good and so smooth. I tweeted out a video of this, but, like, when you're throwing, you don't want, from the catching position, you don't want to waste time by taking the ball from your glove, bringing it down to your hip, and then bringing it back up. And Lord knows why so many catchers do that, including guys on the Pirates roster. Stallings doesn't. It's such a quick and easy transfer. He's got a powerful arm. So, yeah, I mean, if we want to pick his offense, which, you know, I guess matters, I really don't care based on what he does in other aspects of the game, but I just love his watching his, you know, work all around behind the plate.
All right, we're on Twitter. Follow us there, 937 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit at ShorkeyKia.com. Let's get to brass tacks here. So USA Today has the Pirates at 58 wins. Everybody who's a prognosticator has them really low, 100-loss team. Do they know that? Is that communicated to them? And if so, their feelings on it? Or do you think they try to stay away from it? Because I think it's impossible to not know where people have you.
I agree with you, and I don't think it needs communicated to them. I don't think Derek Shelton or anybody needs relayed, you know, needs to, like, sit down or make some point to say, hey, everybody thinks you guys stink. They're well aware of the perception outside of the clubhouse. And, you know, I think to a degree there's only so much they can do about it. It's not like they can have some sort of big rah-rah meeting and go out and win 100 games. Like, you know, the talent is what the talent is. But, you know, do I think this club's going to lose 110 games? I don't. I don't see that. I think there are areas, and this is, I think, the way they're going about it, Colin, is, you know, from last year's team, what they did well, what they didn't do so well, there's stuff you can absolutely improve on. They were a pretty bad fielding team, and it wasn't because they were in the wrong position. It was because they failed to execute basic plays. That can improve. You can coach that. You know, their offense, they can absolutely be better. There are better bats in there than a league-worst OPS. Pitching-wise, the last quarter of the season, they were one of the best pitching staffs in the league, especially the starters. I realize some of those guys are gone, but the guys who did a lot of that work, Keller, Brault, Kuhl, Brubaker, they're all back. I think the starting pitching can be half-decent. And the third point I would make is that the NL Central is not great. You've seen a lot of teams strip it down. It's not. It's probably going to be the worst division in baseball, if not close to. And so that alone, I think, will prevent them from losing 100 games.
Jason Mackey, Buccos Insider, live from Bradenton here with us on the Fan Morning Show. And I have to ask about something interesting, a conversation you had with Ben Charrington over the weekend, Jason, about Ben Charrington saying, hey, when the time comes, we are going to reinvest at the major league level, whether it be via trade or free agency, in players at that major league level, once we get there. So here's my question. What should fans expect as a timeline? What is fair for them to expect? Because the Huntington timeline was somewhere around a little less than 4 years. They went from him taking the job to making those kind of Wandy Rodriguez, Ryan Ludwig, Derek Lee-type acquisitions at trade deadlines to try and push forward. It didn't work for a couple of years, but eventually they got there, signing A.J. Burnett, and then 6 years before they were in the playoffs. What's a fair timeline if Ben Charrington, we expect, is better at this than Neil Huntington?
Less than that, absolutely, Chris. I look at 2 years. I look at 2023 as a year where I think they can be a reasonably competent, competitive baseball team. Playoffs, I don't know. But I think you're going to start to see improvement. If you look around at some of their prospects, like, you know, O'Neill Cruz, for instance, or Mason Martin was a guy that I've had my eyes on, you know, big power hitting first base. Like, those guys should be in the majors by then. They should, you know, maybe Jared Oliva figures that out in the outfield. I don't know, you know, what happens with a guy like Cal Mitchell. He can make a push. Travis Swaggerty, probably see Quinn Priester by that point. They should get a major injection of young talent by 2023. And I think that's when you're going to start to see this thing turn around. I liked what Ben Cherington said on Sunday, man. I really liked the way he laid it out there. Don't shy away from those comparisons. I mean, that's what's going to, I think, I mean, you're going to make Pirates fans mad anyway because they're just mad. But, like, that's a reason, an explanation that I can get behind. Like, we're going to spend when it's the right time. Now is not the right time. Right now we need to get young talent. We need to develop that young talent. When that talent grows and is major league ready, then we will spend. I understand having some hesitancy if you're a Pirates fan, given past precedent, and they've done that to themselves. But everything that I have, every conversation that I've had with anybody in charge, including Bob Nutting, has ever, you know, pointed me in the direction of believing that they're going to do this right whenever these prospects grow. So, you know, I don't think it'll be 6 years. I don't think it'll be four. I think you can look at 2-3 as the window that they're going to be a lot more interesting.
Jason, you mentioned Kevin Newman earlier, Brian Reynolds, another guy. Both of these guys hit 300 as rookies, and then last year they fell off, although Newman did rally at the end. But are we going to see more of the, you know, the 2019 Brian Reynolds and Newman, or are we going to see what we saw from those guys last year?
I think we're going to see the 2019 versions, Jim. I really do. And, you know, Brian Reynolds didn't hit last year. It's probably the first time in his life he didn't hit. And we're also making these judgments on a guy, and I, you know, we have to. It's what the information that we're given, and I'm not saying people are wrong for feeling that way, but, like, you know, the guy played less than 60 games. He didn't start terribly well. It was a season that messed with a lot of people. He had a baby on the way. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. Like, the dude had some stuff, and, you know, it's 1 year he didn't hit. I'm not going to go ahead and say that he's never going to hit again. I mean, what I've seen out of Brian Reynolds so far this spring has been exactly what I would want to see. You know, a lot of contact, power to the gaps, like a smooth swing, great approach. So especially with Reynolds, I think he's going to get back to that. And so far what I've seen out of Newman has looked more like the 2019 version. If he's healthy, I feel like he's going to hit. He's got a good swing. I want to see him be aggressive on the bases. I want to see him field better than he did in 2020. I think that's absolutely in there. But, you know, if I had to pick one or the other, I would really expect those guys to be more like they were in 19.
Last thing for you, when you look around, does it feel like spring training, or is there still a big asterisk because of the pandemic and masks and the people aren't there clamoring for autographs? Like, do you tell me, when you're Jason Mackey every day, does it feel the same?
Yeah, it does, Colin. It really does. You know, there's guys on all parts of the field working. They're drilling down into the minutia. I don't notice a huge difference. I feel like you watch games and stuff, whether it's baseball or otherwise, you can really notice a difference. You notice the pandemic. I mean, outside of guys wearing masks, it's largely the same work. Maybe that'll feel different once spring training games start, although I'm really interested to see how the fan element plays once those do get going. But so far, Pirate City, it feels a lot like last year to me. It feels fairly normal, and it's really been a fun thing. It's been enjoyable to be around.
Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Jason, and he's our Pirates insider as well here at 93.7 The Fan. Jason, we thank you. We'll check in a bunch of times. We appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
Love it, guys. I'll go look for the cat and the bamboo and the ghost.
Yeah, well, the bamboo's right back.
And
the lizards. Right back behind the laundry room in that house. You go right back. And also, if you look in that garage, there's like a 19, I don't know, there's an old car in there, like a really expensive old antique car. Don't mess with it. But just look
don't
at
touch
it.
Don't touch it, no.
Yeah, don't touch it. But
all right.
Okay?
All right. Thanks for the intel, guys.
There should be some empty natural light cans in that one garbage can.
Tell Captain Brian you said hello.
Thank you much. We'll see you.
All right, guys.
Thanks,
Jim.
Jim, remember we bought that really bad grill and grilled out that one time?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that was bad.
I looked for it last year. It was gone. That was actually several years ago. Jason, by the way, did go to Captain Brian's. He sent me a text.
Not impressed, right?
And said, no, he complained about the lobster roll. And he's like, as a New Englander, you'd be disappointed. I'm like, Jason, as a New Englander, I don't order lobster in Florida.
Right, outside of New England.
I order the fresh fish.
Right.
Right, you order off of that paper menu, right? The catch of the day. I mean, come on.
Yeah. To think that Jim Colony brings the average age of Captain Brian's down by about 25 years. Jason Mackey going in there by himself
I know.
Would have brought it down by about 83 years. Dinner is served.
If you're under the age of 60, when you walk into Captain Brian's, they ask you if you want a kiddie menu.
I know. Dinner is served from 2:30 p.m. to 4:45 p.m. at Captain Brian's. Then it turns into, you know, the all-night buffet at 5.
The great part about it is that, you cover a game, you go hit a few golf balls, and then go over at dusk, and the place is cleared out.
Lots of cottage cheese left on the salad bar.
The food was okay. It just felt like I was eating at a retirement home, Jim, when I was there.
St. Barnabas. Yeah.
It did. I was waiting for Jim Roddy to come in and filming a commercial.
It sounds like an extreme Eaton Park, is it not?
Just fish, though. Yes.
For seafood. Yeah.
Yes, seafood. It was good. It was just old. I'm like, everybody here is so old. And Jim's like, yeah, it's great. And he's knocking people out of the way to get to the salad bar. Jim is cutting in line. Yes.
That's not true.
Like Costanza trying to get out of that birthday party. The one thing women and children out of the way.
That was not the least surprising thing that happened in Florida, though. We go in, it's the first day. Jim was already down there. We get there. We walk up at the bar, and I go, I got a wheat beer or whatever. I got something for whoever else was with us. And she goes, does Jim want another, not natural, but whatever they had on tap? And I go, huh? Bud Light. She goes, does Jim want another Bud Light? I go, you know his name? She goes, yeah, I know his name. He's Jim. Yes. And I go, what? How does he know this bartender
Colin,
in Florida.
You walk into the Johto, and they practically have half the menu items named after Jim Colin.
And I go, well, we'll pay. And she goes, nah, Jim will just square up. He's here all the time. And I'm like, wait a minute. You guys are off the rails. No, we're not. She exactly said that. She goes, he's not going to go anywhere. I'll see him. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.